when I read this gospel lesson this morning, it took me back to kind of a beginning in my life and just made me start rethinking. And I think that we're going to hear as things are happening, you know, people are praying and we're getting all the prophetic words about revival and renewal and things. And I think we're going to hear more and more a word that's going to be similar to this being talked about. And that's about radical Christianity, which when you read this story of Mary, it was a pretty radical situation that she was doing, because the amount of denarii, the 300 denarii, was equivalently of the equivalent today of 11 months of salary. So basically, she poured out her entire life in that moment. And on the thing that struck me here that started me to thinking was in verse 7 when Jesus said, "Let her alone." You know, when I was not when I first came to the Lord, because my conversion and being saved and all of that is an ongoing process. You know, I don't have that on May 6, 19, whatever, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the church in this little town, and this pastor preached and there was an altar call and I was radically converted and saved. I don't really have that as a testimony. I did all of that. And I'm sure that God did a real work when I was a very young man, because I remember, you know, I grew up in a Baptist, country Baptist type church as a little guy. And so it was like, I mean, you just kind of like expect to go to the altar 4 or 5 times a year, irregardless of anything else. And so it was fun as a kid to do those things, to be kind of feel like it was a part of something sometimes. But it was not too much later in life that there was a real, real moment that where God just captured me. And when he did that, I was about, I think, maybe 22 years old. I'd been living a life of a typical 20-year-old in South Florida. That's where I lived, was Southwest Florida, in the Fort Myers Beach, Naples area. And I'd lived what was, at that time, pretty typical down there, because it was not a church society. It's not like, you know, like here, there's ever, you know, when I moved back up here and I tried to witness to people, I'd go up to people and say, are you a Christian? And everybody said yes. I was like, what? You know, like, are you sure? Because you didn't really sound like that a minute ago when you called me all those names. But in South Florida at that time, it was not a very church society. All the churches were fairly small in the area that I lived in. And so you could go up to anybody and ask them, you know, you're a Christian. And most of them would go, you know. So that was a culture that I lived in and grew up in, basically. And because of that, I was a pretty horrible child. I was involved in drugs. I was a drug dealer, a thief. And I pretty much have broken all the sins, except I don't think I've killed anybody yet, Dan. You Auburn fans are on thin ice some days. But because of that, I had stolen something. And being a drug user and a hippie and everything, what I stole was, back in those days, and if you had an outdoor kind of thing, and we did have several of those, and this one was kind of like a Dairy Queen. It wasn't a Dairy Queen by name, but it was basically a Dairy Queen. Everything else but the name was Dairy Queen. And they had these bug zappers, and they were these big things. They were about like that by that, and they had a black light in them, and the mosquitoes and everything would come to them and then electrocute them. You know, and we still have those. You can get them now in a much smaller thing for your homes and stuff. But this was a big one, you know. And so being a good stoned out guy and taking some LSD and stuff, I thought, black light. That's a black light. How cool would that be? And so I stole it. You know, it was a very easy thing. It plugged in. It was on hook. So I just went and took it, unplugged it, took it off the hook so it wouldn't. At least I wasn't stupid enough to try to take it without unplugging it. It's a wonder that I didn't. And stole it. And had it for probably a couple of years. And but when the Lord really got hold of me, I was in the process of moving to live in a Christian communal thing, kind of like a Jimmy Hill Mission halfway house type of situation. And I was getting rid of stuff and all, and I saw that, and I was going to throw it away. And every time I went to throw it away, I got convicted. And so I had to return it. And so, you know, I could go to prison for this, you know, and all. But I took it back, and, you know, I went, drove up, and I asked the young lady at the counter, I said, is the owner, manager here? And she said, yes. And I said, I need to talk to him. So he come out, and he came out. And so I said, I need to give you something. So I got this out of my car, and I handed it to him. I said, I stole this from you, whatever it was, a year or two ago, and all. And I've really now have gotten convicted by the Lord, and I'm trying to get my life right and be with Jesus and all. And so here, you know. And he just stared at me for a few minutes, and then he said, well, thank you so much. And I said, well, you know, whatever you want to do, if you want to call the police or whatever. And he goes, no, young man, I really appreciate you doing all this. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he said, but I just want to caution you about something. And I said, yes, sir. He said, don't be too radical. And I was like, what? Dude, if I wasn't being radical, you wouldn't have got your bug zapper back. I'd still have, it'd be in the garbage. God is calling us to a radical life. More and more, everything I hear in the stuff that I read, which I'm pretty selective. I don't just read anything. I can read a couple sentences and go, that's going to waste my time. But the stuff that's important to me and the authors and stuff that's important to me is everything's about being a radical Christian. And that's perhaps because I started out being a radical Jesus freak, crazy, nutty, go for it, you know. And if you didn't want me to witness to you, that was too bad, you know, because I was going to duct tape you to the tree kind of thing. I mean, we were radical in the 70s as Jesus freaks because though we had been saved and redeemed from a horrible life. I remember laying in my bed, and it's what I've always called the 2 o'clock morning truth. See, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you will hear truth. You can drink yourself, drug yourself, but if you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you go to the bathroom and you look in that mirror, you're confronted with truth. And the truth that I had been confronted with, that my life has been totally, completely wasted. It was a disaster. I was only waiting on the day to die that was coming, living the lifestyle that I lived. I had already had several friends die from either traffic accidents because they were stoned, in which I'd had one, but grace of God, and I believe to this day, a hand of an angel shoving me down, that would have killed me. Not even thinking about all the drugs that I was doing that was killing me slowly. And I was redeemed from that, and I was set free from that. And that was the culture that I was in all of a sudden, was other young people like that. So we were radically crazy because we were looking out here at all of our peers that had not been set free in any way, that were still living that lifestyle of just, you know, and all. I mean, I used to have a lighter, you know, the old Zippo lighters that were so popular in the 60s and 70s and all. And so I had a Zippo lighter, and I had it engraved. No hope without dope. Well, I found hope without dope. And it made me radical. And to my shame, I'm not as radical now as I was at one time. Being a radical Christian, you will hear over and over people tell you, don't be radical. Don't be a fanatic, you know. But that's what God calls us to be, really. Calls us to be that way. Over and over in Scripture, you can justify this any way you want. And if you run out of justifications, give me a call, I can give you some. There's that call to radical Christianity, to live a radical life that is given completely, totally, and absolutely every fiber, molecule of our life is given to Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. We're not called as Christians to be mediocre. We're not called to sit in pews and do nothing. But listen, we're called to be radical, sold out, totally given lovers of Jesus Christ. And that's what this story shows us. Is Mary, the sister to Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, had had this radical experience. Now that's radical, your brother gets raised from the dead, you know. That's radical. And that changes things. And so she took basically a year's worth of material goods, and she poured them on the feet of Jesus. Not even the head, but on the feet of Jesus. And of course, there's some pushback. But Jesus said, let her alone. And so when you get pushback, if you try to live a radical Jesus life, you'll get pushback. You'll get criticized. Hear those words that Jesus says, let them alone. They love me. And so that's the call that I have here more and more in my heart, is towards living a radical, given life to Jesus Christ. Whatever, and that looks different for different people, absolutely. But we're called to do it. In the 25th verse of this same chapter, it says, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world, who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." At 68 years old, having lived many different types of lifestyles, bad, most of them, all of them, except a life for Christ, I can tell you with complete honesty and with complete confidence that if you really want to be the happiest that you possibly can be, if you really want to be just that, have joy pressed down and overflowing, if you really want the fullness of Christ, if you really want the fullness of life, you living life in the fullness and the totalness, it has to be done as a radical lover of Jesus Christ. The more radical your love is for Jesus Christ, the more it will be. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.